It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Later in the hour, Wisconsin ranks among worst in the nation for disparities between African Americans and Caucasians in education and the workplace. We'll speak with a pastor who has set out to name and address some of those inequalities.
Right now, though, our next guest captivated readers when he published The Autobiography of an Execution, a book that chronicled his experience defending inmates on death row in Texas.
Attorney David Dow led his clients through the appeals process, managing the balance of hope, truth, and family relationships for inmates when faced with death.
David has now published a new book about another personal experience with a death sentence, this time in the form of his father-in-law's cancer. David Dow is the Cullen Professor at the University of Houston Law Center. His new book is called Things I've Learned from Dying, a book about life. David, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
It's really a compelling book. And in Things I've Learned from Dying, you're trying to appeal the death sentence of Eddie Waterman before his execution date. Now, you've worked on behalf of hundreds of death row inmates, but this case was different for you. Why was that?
It was different, I think, for a couple of reasons. Number one, because it overlapped with, of course, the other two stories that I tell in the book that you mentioned, one of which you mentioned in the introduction, the death of my father-in-law, who died from melanoma when he was only 60 years old. He was diagnosed when he was 58 years old, and the day that I was appointed to represent Mr. Waterman, whom I write about in the book, was basically the same day. I think that it was either one day before or one day after he was diagnosed with the melanoma. So that's one of the reasons. And then the other reason is that he was just a particularly compelling person to write about. I thought in the last book of mine that you mentioned in the introduction, The Autobiography of an Execution, I wrote about somebody who I believe to this day was actually innocent, even though he was executed. Mr. Waterman, who I write about in the current book, is not innocent, never claims to be innocent. There was never any question about his participation in the crime. And yet he struck me as somebody who many reasonable people, including many supporters of the death penalty, would think should not be executed. And so those were a couple of the reasons that I chose to focus on him in this book.
So as you said, not only in the same period, but really at the same time, you're dealing with this case of Eddie Waterman trying to get his sentence commuted. And your father-in-law, Peter, is diagnosed with advanced and terminal cancer. And it really struck me that Peter and Eddie really couldn't be more different in so many ways. Peter planned out his life to the last detail. He's a German scientist, and it really comes through. And Eddie is about to lose his life because of really not thinking through what the ramifications were going to be for his future of a certain act. Yet there they are, both fighting for their lives, and you're accompanying them through that.
Yes, and your observation is exactly correct. At one level, they could not have been more different. My father-in-law, as you mentioned, was a chemist. He was a PhD in chemistry. He spent most of his professional life as a laboratory scientist, and he spent the latter part of his professional life as a manager, managing other laboratory scientists. He was also an extremely avid and accomplished outdoorsman. He's one of these guys who was hiking across Nepal and Tibet and Bhutan 35, 40 years ago before people could carry a satellite beacon with them so that they could get rescued if they got lost. And on the other hand, Eddie Waterman is somebody who never even finished junior high school, middle school. He's somebody who had never traveled anywhere, never been on an airplane, never been on a train. And so in that respect, you're right, they could not have been more different. My father-in-law was a genuine intellectual who loved to read about art and science and music, and Eddie Waterman was barely literate. He read at about a sixth or seventh grade level. And so, yes, in most respects that we think of as defining who human beings are, they were opposites. They were barely members of the same species, and yet they were in my life at exactly the same time. And there was one aspect of each of their lives that was, in fact, mirrored in the other. My father-in-law had two children. He had a son and he had a daughter, who was, of course, my wife. And Eddie Waterman also had a daughter. And, of course, the difference between them, or a difference between them, is that my father-in-law and his daughter were extremely close. And therefore, when he was diagnosed with cancer, there were some real tensions between him and my wife, because she wanted him to pursue a regime of therapy that he was reluctant to pursue. On the other hand, Eddie Waterman had a daughter from whom he had been estranged for many years. And what he most wanted before he was finally executed was to try to reestablish that relationship and that connection with this daughter of his, who he literally had not seen in 10 or 11 years, and who, by the time I knew him, was already a student in college who had had no contact with her dad from the time that he had gone into prison.
And as you mentioned, as if dealing with these two situations wasn't already a lot to bear, your beloved dog, Winona, is also stricken with cancer at the same time. And you say that in some ways it was that loss, the loss of Winona, that was the hardest of the three deaths to come to terms with. And I think some people might flinch when they first hear that.
I think some people would flinch, although I suspect that most people who have had to euthanize a pet, whether it's a dog or a cat, would at least have a little bit of sympathy for me. I've been a dog person my entire adult life, and there were a couple of things about Winona's death that made it the most difficult of these three for me to deal with. One, of course, is that it's the only one of the three cases where I was actually making the decision to end the life. In the case of my client, I was doing everything I could to save him. In the case of my father-in-law, I was doing everything that I could to be with him and to participate in his making the decisions about what he was going to do. But with the dog, it was my wife and I who were making the decisions. We got this dog shortly before we were married, as a matter of fact. And the dog had spent nearly 24 hours a day with me. She would go with me to my office. She would go with me when I traveled. And she did not get ill suddenly. She got ill dramatically. She went from being extremely robust and healthy one day to being at death's door the next. It was really like falling off of a cliff because of this acute liver failure that she developed. And I think that one of the reasons that that struck me the hardest is because I had the least amount of time to prepare for it, but also because it was ultimately my wife and me who made the decision when to end her life. And then, of course, the final piece of the dog narrative, at least another reason that I think that it was very impactful on me, was because our son, who's now 13, was 8 years old at the time that the dog died. And the dog was a dog that had been in his life, our son's life, literally from the day we brought him home from the hospital. And I think that I didn't appreciate the intensity of the bond that our son had with the dog. And so I think that I made some decisions about how to treat the dog that were not sufficiently attentive to the depth of the relationship between our son and the dog. So that's a bunch of different reasons. And what they all added up to for me was an unusually traumatic experience. The other thing I think that I would like to say in my own defense here on in just at least in terms of how I reacted to that particular death is that, as I said, I've been a dog owner my entire adult life, and so I'd had to euthanize other animals before. And the dog that I had to euthanize immediately before the dog that I write about in the book, the dog that I write about in the book is a female Doberman named Winona. And immediately before Winona, I had a dog named Whitney, and Whitney died from spinal cancer. And when I say she died from it, of course, what I mean is that she had spinal cancer and I made the decision to have her euthanized. And in the case of Whitney, the previous dog, the moment that it was the right moment to do that was perfectly clear to me. There was one day I woke up in the morning and she could no longer stand. She couldn't move. She didn't want to eat anything at all. And it was clear to me that she did not want to live anymore, that she was in so much pain that she didn't want to live anymore. And I made the mistake, it turns out in retrospect, of inferring from that episode that the decision when to end the life of a pet would always be clear. It was so clear to me in that instance that I thought it would always be clear. And what turned out to be the case with Winona is that it wasn't clear at all. And to this day, I don't know if my wife and I waited a day too long, a week too long, or whether we made the decision a day or a week or a month too early. And the regret that is entangled with that uncertainty is yet another reason that that's a particularly impactful story.
And David, the subtitle of your book is A Book About Life. Why was that important for you to include?
I wish that I had thought of the subtitle. The publisher called me shortly before we went to press and said to me that they had been talking about the book in the office and they wanted to run by this idea that they hoped I didn't think was going to be too cheesy. And he said, we want to have a subtitle, A Book About Life. And I said, oh my gosh, not only do I not think it's cheesy, I wish that I had thought of that myself because it seemed absolutely right to me. The central events in the book are that these three people die. Waterman dies, my father-in-law dies, our dog dies. But what the book is really about, in my view, is the effect that those deaths have on the relationships of all of the people who love the person who's facing death and how they change those people in ways that are in part good. And those good changes, of course, continue to be present in the lives of the people who survive the three deaths that I write about. So it's called A Book About Life because even though the three central narratives revolve in one way or another around these three beings whose lives are ending, the equally important story and maybe even more important story that I wanted to tell is about the way the people who survive those deaths live the rest of their lives.
David, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for giving me the time.
We've been speaking with law professor David Dow about his new book, Things I've Learned from Dying, A Book About Life.